Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Support and Kindness Podcast. Today is November the 15th, 2025, and we're on episode 11. Today we're asking, what does recovery look like to you? And recovery means many things to different people. It can be abstinence. Is it a focus on mental health? Is it a second chance at life? We'll hear diverse stories showing that this journey is unique for everyone. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Jay and Rich. Thank you for joining me. I think this is one of our most important conversations. It may seem like a simple question, but the answer is really complex and personal. Whether you're recovering from an eating disorder, substance abuse, mental health, injury, or other life change, your journey is valid and your definition matters. Recovery is not a straight line or a checklist. It's more of a winding river. Sometimes it's smooth and sometimes it's rough, but it's always changing. For an eating disorder, recovery might mean a peaceful relationship with food without counting calories, or looking in the mirror with kindness instead of criticism, and self-compassion replacing self-judgment. For addiction, recovery might be milestones such as 30 days sober, rebuilding trust, or finding coping strategies that don't involve a substance. It's about creating a life that makes relapse less tempting. In physical rehab, recovery might be the first steps after an injury, gaining strength or adapting to a new normal. Across these experiences, some common elements appear, and their community, whether it's therapists, doctors, support groups, faith, friends, therapists, they all help us heal. And isolation worsens struggle, connection helps. New coping skills, old harmful ways, give way to mindfulness, creative expression, movement, or honest communication, and setbacks, instead of seeing relapse as a failure. Many view it as valuable feedback about triggers or skills that they still need to build. An identity shift, moving from I am my struggle to I'm someone who has struggled but I'm healing. And recovery plans often combine therapy, medication, support groups, or physical therapy, practicing joy, boundaries, nourishing food and movement that feels good, and supportive relationships. We've got to address the stigma. Hiding recovery keeps us from celebrating strength and courage. Recovery is not weakness, it's one of the bravest paths that someone can take. I'll start today with someone who's experienced recovery, and that's my good friend, Jay. So, Jay, you've got a lot of experience with recovery. What does recovery look like to you?
Well, I was very excited for this topic because, yes, I've been in the recovery community for many, many years. I've kind of got my path to recovery down to a couple minutes, so I think I will start off that I had my first drink at probably about 9 years old. It's an early age, but that's when I started. I had trouble up until my 20s, and, you know, there's times in your life, especially when you're a teenager, early 20s, where it's acceptable. So my friends put up with it, you know, my mom put up with it, my family did, but then it got to a point where I was out of control. And I remember I was living with a buddy at the time, and he had to call my mom one night to come get me because of how insane I was acting. And that led me to my first rehab. I've been to rehab probably, I've mentioned this before in the podcast, over 30 times. I've been to 30-day programs, 60-day programs, 90-day programs, and I got a lot of experience in there. I can't totally tell you what set me straight. They say that if you hear enough in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, that one day something clicks. And one day something did click. I had gotten out of treatment and I thought, you know, I'm just going to wait a week before I start drinking. Then I said I was going to wait 2 weeks before I start drinking. Then I said I was going to wait a month. And then from there, it got harder and easier. I will say that it does get much, much easier. I hope everyone out there who's going through it can take that as words that will happen. It does get easier. Now I've been in recovery. I'm coming up on 11 years on December 5th. I just went and got my 10-year coin from Alcoholics Anonymous. But I've actually been in the program since I was probably 17 or 18. I still remember my first meeting. I had my mom and a friend go with me, and I couldn't say a word in the meeting because I was just so overwhelmed by everything that was going on, everything I was hearing. I found a lot of friendship in that room, a lot of support, a lot of wisdom, and I don't think I could have done it without that or the treatment centers. But now I'm proud to say that I got it at a very young age. I'm only 36 and I've had almost 11 years of sobriety. You know, I was alcohol the majority of my teens and 20s. And then I got into a car accident when I was 21, which was a drunk driving accident. And thank God I never hurt anybody but myself, but I sure did hurt myself. I had to have brain surgery. I was in the hospital for 3 or 4 months. And then they release you on pain medicine. And that was a whole nother demon. And then pain medicine gets too expensive and you end up going down the route of heroin. And that just created a whole nother evil on top of it. But again, I'm proud to say that I have 11 years from both heroin and alcohol. And the last words I want to leave about that is it does get easier.
Thanks, Jay. You know, you took great pride in showing us your 10-year anniversary coin. I know that you can't see that because this is a podcast and we're just using the audio, but it's a really nice looking coin. It's got a black inlay on there with some gold writing. You know, these milestones, whether it be 10 years, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 minutes, these are celebratory milestones. But it's different for everyone. Rich, what does recovery look like for you?
Physical recovery is what I was going to focus on. Coming back from injuries and the long road when you undergo or when you suffer a debilitating physical injury, be it a traumatic brain injury, or when I was younger, I was a pretty competitive athlete and I suffered some pretty bad knee injuries. And the physical rehabilitation, just getting range of motion back. You get milestones with your therapist, getting range of motion, going for another couple of degrees each week in how far you can flex the knee joint or how much weight you can bear, how far you can squat. You know, these are milestones in your rehabilitation and recovery process. And they're difficult, but they're milestones that you reach with your therapist, and usually you frequent the same, you have a schedule, so you see the same fellow patients and yourself and therapists pretty frequently. You start to develop a rapport with them. There's kind of a rehabilitation community that develops. It really helps out in that accountability, like Jay was talking about, and getting you there, keeping you accountable.
Can't do it alone, right? I mean, we have to, you know, community is very important. I can tell these things are very meaningful to you. I know, again, you can't see because we're on, you know, voice, but your face was lighting up when you were talking about them, you know, some of those milestones that you were reaching. And I know that you get from your personal journey, but also in your professional journey when you were a coach, you got to see, you know, recovery from injury and stuff like that, which, you know, I'm sure that was rewarding as well, seeing that take place before your eyes.
Absolutely. It was always neat to see an athlete, you know, a player work really hard to come back from an injury. It can be very discouraging when you get injured and feel like your career is over. And if you put in the work, if you put in the time and the effort, you can resurrect a career with modern medicine and surgery and physical therapy and sports rehabilitation. You can really do amazing things to repair a knee, an ACL, you know, PCL, you know, MCL, what, you know, whatever the knee joint might be that you blow out, or tear an Achilles or something. Those used to be career-ending injuries 25 years ago, and now you can come back 8-9 months and participate.
Jay, what are you going to say?
I just wanted to say that I can relate to the physical injury part. I think it's just as important as recovery, because that's your physical health, and that comes before anything. I used to be a almost pro skateboarder. I had sponsors. This was all when I was teenage years. And it all stopped when I was 21, again, when I had the brain injury. And I was lost. I was a floater. I didn't know what to do with my life, because my whole life I had planned on being this great skateboarder. And then I had the brain injury, and a doctor said to me, do you do any sports? And I said, yeah, I've just become a pro skateboarder. And he said, well, you don't skateboard anymore. That was one of the hardest things I ever heard in my life, because, you're going down this one path and this giant fork in the road comes up and you're on a totally new path of pain and missing out on everything that you had planned for in your life. So I can certainly relate to the injuries because I still haven't come back from it. I'll never be a pro skateboarder again.
Right.
Well, Jay, that brings up a wonderful point, and that's the mental health side of recovery, the mental health side of addiction and injury. You know, you were talking about your recovery from substance abuse. I was talking about my recovery from injury. There's a mental health side of recovery to injury or to addiction that can't be ignored. And I encourage people to seek professional help while seeking their physical help or their, you know, 12-step program. It's important to take the mental side of it seriously as well.
And taking that first step is very important. We'll have some good notes in the, make sure we've got some resources in the show notes for you. But you know, for me, recovery looks like a lot of things. It looks like going from a child, seeing a strange woman, waking up out of bed and a strange woman in the house who thinks that she's exorcising the demon from family members. She was drunk, manic depressive, unmedicated. That was my stepmother. And I hated her at one point. I really did hate her. I would love to have seen her dead. Some of the things that happened to me as a child were absolutely despicable. But recovery means seeing her go from that. In the end, she was the sweetest lady that you could ever wish to meet. And I really loved that lady dearly. You know, she got help in the end. She got sober. She got on medication. She got the help she needed. And she was a wonderful person. You know, recovery can do that for somebody. It could be abstinence. It could be, you know, watching things that you don't want to be watching a little bit less often. Having, you know, instead of drinking right away, coming out from rehab, waiting a couple of weeks, like Jay had said, it could be any number of things. It could be the physical, the mental health aspect, the pain, the anguish. It could be having good days where you don't hate yourself and you don't want to die. It could be going into the psych ward a little bit less often, a little bit less frequently, not having to, you know, feel like you are a burden to society and yourself. You know, we talked about that river, right? And, you know, sometimes smooth, sometimes it's rapid, but it's moving all the time. Gentlemen, any thoughts on this? Anything else?
Yeah, I just want, that made me think of a good point of forgiveness. I think forgiveness is important in recovery, not only forgiving people that have done wrong to you, but forgiveness of yourself for having these injuries that you couldn't avoid or having these addictions you couldn't avoid. Eventually, you have to forgive yourself. That's a hard thing to do, but it's a necessary step of recovery in any fashion.
Yeah, and you're doing the best you can. And I need you to listen up. I'm going to say something, right? And I need everyone to hear this because you might not have heard it for a long time. You might not have heard it at all, but I'm in all seriousness when I say this. I care. People care. I love you. You are worth it. You are worth the effort. You are worth the help. Seek help. Reach out to us. You can contact us at kindnessrx.org. Send us a message if you need some resources. I'll try and point you in the right direction. Find someone local to you that you can help. I'm going to put, there's a 988. It's a national suicide number. It's a crisis number. You can call that if you're in the United States. We've got some other resources, but reaching out is very important. Gentlemen, before we wrap up, any other thoughts on this?
I just want to say that, yeah, reaching out to help is an important step. I think the meeting both Greg and Rich and Liam when he's here, this has been one of the most progressing and helpful things I've ever been a part of. So yes, reach out to us on kindnessrx.org.
Absolutely. So as we wrap the conversation up, I hope that you've taken away one crucial message. Recovery is not, it's not a rigid path. It's a spectrum defined by your self-direction, your goals, and your commitment to a life lived fully. Whether your recovery looks like a daily meeting, a therapy session, or a moment of deep compassion, or simply making it through a day sober, know that your effort is valid and your journey is powerful. Again, asking for help is brave and it can bring healing and support when times are tough. Remember, you're not alone and there's free resources ready to help you. Helplines give you a quick emotional support from trained professionals who know what you're feeling, and these services provide easy access, providing safe spaces for you to talk about your feelings. So don't wait, reach out. Taking that first help can really help. If you or a loved one struggling, immediate help's available. You can call the SAMHSA National Helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. The 988 Suicide Crisis Lifeline. Any time of the day or night, simply dial 988. And for global support, you can visit Find a Helpline And that address is findahelpline.com. This is going to be in the show notes. And it connects you with over 1,300 helplines in over 130 countries, offering free, confidential and emotional support worldwide. Thanks for listening to the Support and Kindness podcast. Join us next time for another inspiring conversation. Until then, take care and thank you for helping build a kinder world, one podcast at a time.